Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, did you get any of the donuts from the donut wheel that Charles Heller brought in? My goodness, a huge box.
Well, I have to admit I haven't. And now that you've brought it up, I might have to take a look, but my my doctor says ixnay on the donuts.
Probably really good advice, but there are a lot of people down here at Bustos Media right now that are kind of, well, let's just say they're very energized. Tom, one other item. It finally rained, and I was a little bit surprised. We had a half an inch up at the Buckmaster Bungalow, according to the unofficial rain gauge up there in the lower foothills. Very good news.
It sounded pretty steady during the night last night when I woke up a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I guess we're in for some more rain.
Yeah.
The
good news is that I slept through it, which is kind of unusual, but getting a pretty good night's sleep. Buckmaster here as we rock and roll through our midweek edition of the program in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. And a lot of people think, oh, Bill, it's so neat that you get to be out there at Green Things every day. Well, they have the naming rights to the studio, and our studio actually is part of the Bustos Media complex here in central Tucson, where we've got five radio stations under one roof. When we do our telephone interviews, that's sponsored by Sean and the gang over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. All right, let's get the ball rolling here. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham joining me in studio. Councilman, how are you?
Thanks for having me, Bill. I'm doing as well as can be expected.
Yes, well, I've been around a while, and so have you, 37 years here in this particular market. I was trying to reflect. I can't remember a city proposition or ordinance going down by 70%, but then you reminded me, remember, what was it, a year ago, that folks were voting on the Tucson Electric Power franchise agreement, and that was soundly defeated.
Yeah, it's the same dynamic. Again, it's a situation where if you ask too much or you have organized opposition on a proposition like this, that it's just a really heavy lift. And in this particular case, there were multiple groups from different ends of the spectrum opposing it. So, you know, hindsight being 2020, and anytime you lose an election, there's a number of coulda, shoulda, wouldas. I think some of the political climate outside of us lended to the resounding defeat. But again, we just have to go. You take your lumps and you move on. You go back to the drawing board. And you got to figure out how we're still going to address some of the challenges we have in the city. So it is what it is. I'm not going to dwell on it too much. There may be a scenario in the next few years where we do go out to the voters. One thing I think is with the sentiment against the sales tax that kind of were set forth, there's some there'll be some pretty significant discussion about the RTA coming up. So I think there's a whole bunch of different pieces to this, but for now, we'll just have to go back and take a look at what we can do with our existing budget to maximize the amount of service delivery we have in all of our core services, whether it's emergency response, parks, and transportation.
Tim was here on Friday, Tim being Tim Tomier. He was our Friday Focus interview, and we kind of set the table saying, well, if this doesn't pass, what then? And he admitted they go back to the drawing board, he and the team, and try. And it comes at a time where nothing's set in stone for the fiscal year 25-26. But there are certain items that have to be covered in the budget that you really can't play around with, correct?
Right. And so for this year, for the most part, they're covered. In other words, going into FY26, that it looks like we enter 25-26 with a balanced or close to balanced budget, within, you know, $12 to $13 million, and I think there some of that we can find some pieces to it. I mean, there's conventional things like vacancy savings and hiring freezes that can can help you balance and get you where you need to go. But there's some other places where we can look at revenue increases, or we can change some fees, or we can, there's all the little knobs and dials that we can push to kind of go into the balance. The question is that the year after, is that I have a little more concerns about, is that the year after we're looking at a more significant deficit, because again, each year you carry over, and if you're adding in COLAs and you're adding in this and you're adding in that, and then there's the price of inflation or just things costing more, it becomes a bigger challenge. So we've got to look at some of the ways we do procurement. We've got to look at some of the ways we do business in the IT spectrum. There's some things and efficiencies we can probably get away with that may cost some money up front, but will save us money in the long run. The problem is that because we don't have the 414 money to do some of those things, it's a little tougher. But it is what it is. And again, I think we can only look at our budget as a living document on how we bring the biggest, the best service delivery we can for our constituents.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you about the bus service. I've heard if we started charging again, that's $20 million that we could get back into the budget.
I don't think it's that much.
Oh,
I think
really?
Realistically.
So what would you even charge if you started charging again?
So the most we ever made was like 13 or 14 million. I think that was
really?
Our most ever.
That was your banner year
that
for the bus?
That was our banner year.
Okay.
And I think, I don't think we'd even bring fares back as high as that was.
Yeah.
And then even if we started charging, it costs money to now collect the money and count it and all. So the net out is, you know, being realistic in the first year, second year, $5-6 million, which is helpful. I mean,
sure.
I'm not dismissing that as an option. I think there's other things we can look at as far as like city membership. You know, one of the things that we've always done is we've got all these little fees that we have. You know, we charge $1 to go to the rec center, and we charge $1 for the pool, and we charge this for the bus. Wouldn't it be great if we just had a thing where you paid, you know, $25-35 at the beginning of the year and all that stuff was free?
I would love that, because I utilize the Udall Center. And I don't go often enough for whatever the yearly membership is, but it's $1 and $1.50. So you're saying like, hey, $20, forget it.
So
you're good to go.
Before the pandemic and before we had free bus fares, based on a kid. So when I was a kid here in Tucson, we had the it was called the Sun Go or Sun Pass. And it was a summer pass for teenagers.
Yeah.
And you spent $25 or something for the summer, and you got to ride the bus free all summer.
Uh-huh.
So we brought it back the last 2 years before the pandemic. And it also included pools in the centers.
Sure.
And so I think we run off of that kind of mentality. Hey, we may put fares back in, but we're going to make it really easy and really inexpensive. Or we're going to put fees into the centers and the pools, but we're going to make it really easy and really inexpensive to do that. And then, again, that's really preliminary. I don't even know if we can go there. I think there's a much bigger piece that I am one person out of seven that decides this. Every single department head has a different idea of what kind of fees and things to charge. So you just have to do your best to listen and kind of come up with. But at the end of the day, we have to put in some revenue capture pieces into our budget in order to make up some of the holes we're going to have in and out.
All right. We're talking about Proposition 414, which was resoundingly defeated. That would have raised the city sales tax by a half a cent. And it was defeated 70% approximately. The voters said no. I want to talk a little bit with Paul Cunningham about police and fire services and the percentage that the city actually devotes to that, and could that be increased as we continue on the Buckmaster Show. But first, I do want to say we're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village studio and the demolition sale. Let's tear down sale, whatever you call it, at Zocalo Village continues. They've got some beautiful, beautiful handcrafted Mexican mesquite wood furniture and all of these things that are up to 50% off at Zocalo Village, which is part of Green Things. and they're at 3384 East River Road. So the buildings will be torn down here in a couple of months, but the merchandise is now going out the door with some really great savings. Green Things AZ and ZocaloVillage.com. A couple of websites keep in mind. We'll take a break. Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham, we're kind of deconstructing the Prop 404 decision. And now where do we go from here in the city of Tucson? We'll be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Vero Amore, where every certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore is located in the lovely Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. Also, check out the full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com. The Regional Transportation Authority invests over $100 million annually in transportation improvements in the greater Tucson region based on public input. The RTA and its regional partners deliver roadway, transit, safety, pedestrian, bicycle, environmental, and other needed improvements to meet the demands of transportation network users over a 20-year period. Learn more about the economic and quality of life benefits of the RTA's 2006 voter-approved plan and flexible funding at rtamobility.com. For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Coming up at 12:30 or about 12:34, our buddy Ryan Hansen, he's our travel contributor, and we'll be talking travel talk with a Rhino coming up at 12:34. Right now, Paul Cunningham is here, Tucson City Councilman, and we're talking about the vote tally was about 70%, 7 out of 10 of the voters. And there was really good turnout, Paul Cunningham. 7 out of 10 said no, but a lot of people were very passionate about this.
Yes, they were.
For a March election or whatever. So I have a bunch of questions. First of all, it's apples and oranges, and I've heard people say, well, the city of Tucson doesn't, percentage-wise, it's so much lower what this city has budgeted for police and fire. They compare it to, like, somewhere up in the Phoenix area. Tucson doesn't spend anywhere near what they should. Well, what really is the figure? What is the percentage?
Well, for us, you've got to add in, for police and fire, you've got to add in the pension costs. And so that's where the piece to the budget is. As far as sworn number of firefighters, we're a little low, but we're right kind of within the margin of error of the national average. It dips from time to time, but as long as we're at full strength, we're pretty close. I think we should probably add an engine company, but that's a different discussion for the chief. Mm-hmm. On the police side, you want to be right around between 2 and 3 officers per about 1,000 people. So for us,
1,000?
Yeah, but okay. Per 1,000 people, you want to be between 2 and 3 officers per 1,000 people. That's kind of the going rule. So for us, you'd want about 1,000 to 1,070, almost 1,100 officers. That's where we've wanted to be over the years. Part of the reason, like what we're authorized for, we have that capacity. We have a really tough time getting recruits. Mm-hmm. And then the other pieces, and that's where this 414 kind of worries me, is long-term where our retention numbers will be. And then we also have CSOs who respond to a bunch of
calls. The community service officers, and you're seeing those all over town these days.
Yeah, so we've got an extra 250 responders, mm-hmm. and so that puts us, you know, closing in on that 1,000 mark. But mm-hmm. they are not commissioned officers.
No.
And so you can't. There's quite a bit of discussion on whether you can count them or not. But I will say this. We are running 3 academies a year, and we're maxing out each academy. Mm-hmm. But between attrition, retention, and folks actually making it through the academy and making mm-hmm. it through the screening, it's a much slower process than we want. I will say this. There was a 4-year period where our number of commissioned officers dipped every single year. Mm-hmm. And I think over the last 2, we haven't increased. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to say, hey, that's the gospel. I got to talk to the chief of staff of Captain Garson and verify some of that. Captain Silva, and get some extra information on that. But they do a really good job keeping us apprised of that. And again, While I agree that our number is probably a little lower than we want it to be, I can say without hesitation that the chief and the chief's team have been very, very active in trying to increase and retain officers so that we're meeting that service delivery and response time.
So what if there's a lot more, I don't know, money in the budget for more officers? Are you saying, even though that money would come in, it may be difficult filling that because of the recruiting situation?
Well, we get some challenges with people passing the background checks. We get some challenges with people actually making it through our rigorous training program. So you'll run an academy of, say, 40 recruits mm-hmm. over a 6-month period, and some 20 or 30 will be dropped off. And then the other thing with that two to three number is how many are deployable, and then how many are in training, or how many are on injured reserve, and how many. So there's all these different like nuances to that discussion. The real question is that how many do we have in each briefing? I'd say that for us, I'd like us to get to a point where we go from 4 teams to 5 divisional operations teams. I think the chief and his team would like to see that come to fruition at some point.
Because we have 4 operational teams now?
Yeah, team 1, team 2, team 3, team 4. And, okay. And then we have a couple of Bravo units that do some follow-up and some special investigations mm-hmm. and special operations. Mm-hmm. And then we have our SWAT team that's deployed some 250 times a year. Mm-hmm. So there's all these different things that go into the operations of the police department that, unless you're doing that for a living, it's a lot. You find out that it's a lot more complicated mm-hmm. than you realize. So I think that our group has done a great job using what they have and going as best they can. But the bottom line is that we need the warm bodies to fill that. Whether or not that would break the budget, I mean, so it used to be kind of a going practice. You'd be authorized 1,010 officers, but you'd only have 700 to 800 deployable, mm-hmm. and you'd create a little budget gap, a little savings gap, and some mm-hmm. leeway in mm-hmm. your budget with vacancy savings. We haven't been doing that over the last few years, but we've always been able to say build capacity. I mean, the only way we could really increase capacity faster is to build mm-hmm. an entire other police academy. Mm-hmm. And again, that's like one-time money that you need before. So it just gets tougher and tougher to do those things. So I as much as I want to make that investment, the logistics involved are a lot tougher. And that comes back to, how do we keep that number higher? Well, if we have longer retention and better retention, then we're going to keep our deployable officer. We're going to keep more of our deployable officers. We'll slow down some of that attrition. Mm. Well, if we don't have funding to do that, to offer bonuses or pay increases or whatever, then we're going to see folks leaving.
So could we cut some of the social service programs and put that money into police and fire? That was kind of what folks were talking about, that some of them that were opposed.
So a lot of 414. A lot of the quote-unquote social service programs that we're talking about are federally funded. I mean, it's federal and state pass-through money. It's not like we're running around handing out money to people. What are we talking about? Cutting food stamps, which is a federal program, which helps helps people in need get food in their on the table. I mean, that's an age-old discussion that we've had. All our housing choice vouchers are all through HUD. That's all money that we get through federal pass-through. So I don't know where we do some of that. I think we have a few like navigators and social workers that go out to the field and talk to folks who are struggling or having are experiencing unshelteredness and maybe engaged in criminal activity, may not be. But the point is that having that dialogue and having those folks being engaged is just as valuable as having an emergency response. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a balance to it, and I think you got to try to find that balance. I know we've tried to as much as we can, but everyone's going to tell you what you should be doing differently, and you may find out it's more complicated. I will say this while I'm here.
Okay.
And that is that if you really want to find out kind of how some of this stuff works, I encourage you to participate and sign up for a ride-along with police, or you can contact my office and you can go to the field with me. I try to go to two or three camps. Every couple of weeks I try to go out to the field and engage some folks that are
just call the ward
2 office at 791-4687, 791-42. And we will take a community volunteer to come out with us as long as they're going to be safe and stuff like that. But what you really want to do is experience this opportunity of folks who are struggling, look them in the eye and find out what their story is, and then find out if you can help. And then, yes, there are some bad actors. There's some folks that don't want to really have any expectations. And in that case, it's a different discussion. But at the end of the day, we're talking about somebody's son or daughter. We're talking about somebody's uncle or aunt or mother or father. And we've got to try our best to engage them and help them find their center. And if we can do that one person at a time, I think we will have something special, something that a lot of communities don't have.
So as we wrap up this discussion, is there kind of a silver lining in this that at least it says it's trying to maybe give you and your council members some guidelines about what really is important in the city of Tucson? Is that safe to say?
I think it definitely offers some clarity.
Yeah.
And it offers some focus.
Sure.
And it gives us the opportunity to yes, there's always a silver lining, but this gives some opportunity to kind of look at our priorities and see if we can meet those priorities. Right now, the voters have said to us, our priority is to show us that you guys are more efficient. Okay, we'll do that. But we'll find out kind of what that looks like. I mean, there's other – and it ebbs and flows. Sometimes we're in the people business. We're not just in the bean counting business. We're not in the money business. We're in the people business. And a lot of times what you'll find is that things that are successful and things that are worked – are done by the people involved. The reason that the Buckmaster show is so successful is because of Bill Buckmaster. All right. And so that's what
the brand,
not just the brand, the person.
The person matters.
Thank you. If you weren't, and congratulations, by the way.
Well, thanks.
The point is that people make programs. That's what we say in public education all the time. People make programs. You're in the people business. Great basketball coaches are great people. And so one of my favorite things is a movie about it was written by a Tucsonan. Brad Hogan has the writing credit for More Than a Game, which is the biography of LeBron James. Mm-hmm. And one of the lines from the movie is, I didn't really need to focus on making these guys great basketball players. I needed to focus on making them great young men. Mm-hmm. Well, that's the same thing. We don't just need to work on being great police officers. We need to be great people. And when we have, and we do, when we have that, things can happen. Good things can happen. Mm-hmm. So, the best programs we have are run by the people that we have that really take pride in it. Sometimes you get some transition. Mm-hmm. When you have someone new to the job, they may not be as able as the previous person. Sometimes you have somebody who's kind of at the end of their career and you're parking them there to do less damage because they've been a little, they've just kind of lost their want to engage. But we have a lot of people who work for the city of Tucson who care about it dearly and work hard every day. And I want to make sure that people understand that. We've got some great folks who work for the city and it's important for me to recognize that.
And if nothing else, the turnout shows people do care about this city of Tucson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bottom line.
They feel engaged.
They care. And so that's a good thing.
It is an opportunity to go back to some of our folks and say, hey, look, what is hurting our brand right now?
What's going on with this? What do you want? All right. Paul Cunningham, always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Paul, I hope you have a great rest of the day. Thank you, sir.
Bill, Ted Maxwell sends his regards from Florida, and we'll mix it up with him in a month, all right?
Perfect. Thank you very much. Ya. Midway point of the Buckmaster Show. Ryan Hansen is next. We're going to talk travel right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun, covering your hometown.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show, and the green thing is Zocalo Village Studio. When we do our Our telephone interview is the Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for Insider Travel Talk with our travel contributor, Ryan Hansen. He is the president and chief operating officer of Bon Voyage Travel, Arizona's premier travel agency since 1976. These folks really know what they are doing in all aspects of the travel industry, and they're experts. They're ready to create that trip of a lifetime for you right now. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell. They're in Green Valley, and they're also up in Oro Valley. And the website, looking real good, bvtravel.com, the first step in making your travel dreams come true. Let's welcome now back to the show our friend Ryan Hansen. Hey, Rhino, how are you?
Bill, great to talk to you, my friend. We just came off our big travel show a little short of a month ago, and you and I had a chance to spend some time together. I hope things have gone well for you. Travel is still pretty popular as of late.
Well, I know it is with me, and I've got three trips at least planned this year, which is wonderful news. And I do want to just kind of circle back before we get into our travel agenda today, which is pretty jam-packed. But a quick overview, Ryan. This is our first visit on the show since the February 16th travel show at the lovely Hilton El Conquistador. I was just delighted with the response for our kind of opening kickoff. We had standing room only in our room talking about some under the radar travel destinations. Overall, you had a lot of people there, I think over 1,000. Was this very good for business? Let me ask you.
Yeah, it's a great question, Bill. Over 1,000, try just shy of 2,000 attendees at the show. So our greatest attendance that we've had since we've been doing the show now consistently for the last 12 years. And really excited about the thoughts and the conversations that we had with people talking about what you mentioned, looking for that off the beaten path destination. I'll tell you this, there were three destinations that were the most popular and most inquired about destinations, and maybe even in this order. Okay. It started with Australia. Australia was very popular. We had some specialists there to talk about it and have really dialed into Australia and New Zealand. That was a popular destination. Costa Rica, as has been for a number of years, was on everybody's radar again as it is back in a popular demand. And Ireland drew a lot of interest from folks wanting to trace their family roots. If they have some Irish roots, they want to drink a Guinness. They want to hit a pub. They want to go to the Cliffs of Moher. They want to kiss the Blarney Stone. They want to go to the Book of Kells experience in Dublin, right? It was all of that in Ireland. As you and I have talked about, there's so many destinations that are rich in their travel experience, from the cuisine to the architecture to the landscape to just the flat-out wonderful people of Ireland. That's a great destination. So I'd say those three destinations from the travel show were the most popular.
Yeah, let me run one more thing past you. And I know we had a nice lady come up to us after our presentation wondering about solo travel. That continues to be an accelerating trend in the business.
Yeah, for those people out there that think, wow, I don't have a significant other. My significant other doesn't want to travel to the places that I want to. Don't fret. Don't feel like you really are a single traveler. There is a movement of what we are calling, and the industry has dubbed as solo travelers, because those people, by and large, they are independent, but they like to travel with like-minded people as well. And so we have cruise experiences, we have land escorted vacations that are really geared towards not just from a price point standpoint, because those solo travelers know for years the cruise industry has penalized a solo traveler and made you pay double for the same space that two people would occupy instead of recognizing I'm a solo traveler. So from a price standpoint, our partners are recognizing this is important to solo travelers to be priced properly, but also the experience is aggregating solo travelers and like-minded individuals so that they can have a better experience on that trip, where they're not, don't feel like the third wheel, the fifth wheel, sure, the seventh wheel to a group of people. And so the world is recognizing that people want to travel in different ways and different styles. You and I love talking about different trends, which we'll get into some additional new trends that we're seeing. Even new words that I'd never heard of in the travel industry have popped up recently. But solo travel, Bill, is very popular. And so if anybody's out there that says, I've lost my traveling partner because my husband passed away or can't travel anymore, the world is still your oyster, and we have opportunity for you to really enjoy that style of travel.
All right, let's get into today's travel agenda. At the top of our travel headline news, Ryan Hansen, is the story about Southwest. This is getting a lot of news coverage. Southwest pretty much built their brand around free baggage, no charges.
Yeah.
That's changing.
Super interesting.
Yeah,
Bill, you and I do love to inspire and talk destinations and new ways of seeing the world and different cruise experiences. But the reality is, travel does have some business aspects to it, and there's changes that impact you as a traveler, and it's important to know these things. And Southwest, as we know, typically has been in the space since 1967, the low-cost leader. Mm-hmm. And so you could most likely price out your trip more flexibly. You could price it round trip. They broke up the legs where almost across the board you were going to pay less for a domestic flight, but it came with some compromises. You didn't get to select your seat. It was a first come, first serve on seat selection. That is changing as well. We didn't really get a chance to talk about that a couple of months ago when that announcement was made. But the overarching concept is Southwest is transforming themselves into what we would say more of a lookalike airline, with its three primary domestic competitors, Delta, United, and American. So no more free bags. All of your checked bags now will come with a price that starts on flights booked beginning May 28th. So the free bags have gone away. The seating arrangements will not start until the end of 2025 and into 2026. So right now, if you have a Southwest flight tomorrow, you're still going to have your free check bags. You're still going to have the normal boarding process where it is first come, first serve seating. But you will see in the next, 10 to 18 months, your next Southwest flight in that range will come with, you can still get a free seat, but it's like the other airlines. You will have to select your seat, and it will most likely not be the prime locations, right? Mm-hmm. It's not going to be all the windows or aisles. It's going to be middles. It's not going to be the front of the plane. Southwest is even reconfiguring. They're not introducing a premium cabin like a first class, but they are going to create extra legroom rows for a price, or for their highest loyalty program. The business select fares will come with those more premium categories. It's not a full cabin experience, but the extra legroom. So for those of you that are ardent Southwest flyers, or you know, when I'm flying to Denver out of Tucson, when I'm flying to LA out of Tucson, or Vegas out of Tucson, I always fly Southwest. Your experience is about to change, so recognize that as you make your travel plans.
And so many Tucsonans, of course, use Southwest because it is the main carrier over to San Diego for the Tucsonans in their summer. So that's a good one.
That's another important destination to be cognizant of. And yes, you're right. July in San Diego, it's almost pretty much, you want to find someone that lives in Tucson, go to San Diego. They're probably there.
Travel Talk with Ryan Hansen. Part one is now complete. We've got part two coming up. And Ryan was talking about some of these new trends in travel, like book-inspired travel, folks that want to go to places that they'd seen in movies and TV, and even sober travel. That's coming up next in segment four on the Buckmaster Show.
This is your captain speaking. Thank you for flying with Tucson International Airport, where you can avoid the hassles, long lines, and the expensive parking of the Phoenix Airport. Skip the traffic, breeze through security, and park with ease, all while supporting your community. Every flight from TUS brings more destinations and better connections right here to Tucson. So next time you're planning a getaway, remember, fly easy, fly local, fly TUS. This is your captain signing off. We're cleared for takeoff.
Located in the heart of Arizona wine country, about an hour south of Metro Tucson, Flying Leap Estate Vineyards Winery and Distillery Facilities are one of the most beautiful wine venues in the southwestern United States. Come relax and unwind at our spacious property and learn about Arizona grape viticulture and winemaking from our team of trained sommeliers and discover the intricacies of the art of distillation. Learn more at flyingleapvineyards.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax through June 2026. The funding has led to a $1.6 billion investment in regional transportation improvements over the past two decades to improve your quality of life. The RTA is working on a final draft of a new regional transportation plan for future voter consideration. The $2.46 billion draft plan includes roadway, transit, safety, bicycle, pedestrian, environmental, and other needed improvements. Learn more at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, where we are talking travel, including Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where we send so many of our listeners over to a beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. We send them over there for a couple of days or even a week or longer, and they're going to have a great time over there. Only about a three-hour drive from Silver City. The weather is being now after the rain, we're going to get some the Gila National Wilderness greening up, perfect for outdoor activities like hiking and a visit up to the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Start your planning now by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Ryan Hansen is with us. Ryan, of course, the President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, and Ryan is the Buckmaster Show travel contributor, one of two dozen people. I'm just so proud that they're part of our team. These are people at the top of their game, and Ryan's going to bring his A game. We're once again calling on him on Thursday, May the 15th, Travel Talk goes on the road, at least the Buckmaster portion of it goes on the road with a report for Ryan, who will be in this seat as he hosts a full hour talking travel. That is always a fun day.
I love talking travel, as you know, Bill, and to have a takeover of the Buckmaster Show for just travel is, I'm excited because we get to talk travel. B, I'm even more excited because we always tap into the live correspondent,
sure,
who is,
yep,
none other than Bill Buckmaster himself,
yep,
from the destination that you're traveling to bring that boots on the ground experience. It's a great day that I always look forward to hosting.
All right, Rhino, a lot of stuff going on, new trends. We've got the book festival, the Tucson Festival of Books. books, and people are now traveling to Tucson from really all over the world for this festival, which is now in its 15th year. And people in Tucson like to go to book festivals in other places, don't they?
Yeah, it is an emerging trend. Everyone here in Tucson knows the success of the Tucson Festival of Books. I believe, and don't quote me on this, Bill, or correct me, I think Tucson might be maybe the third or fourth largest festival of books in the United States, maybe behind LA and New York only. Those are some competitive markets.
It is now number two. It has surpassed the Miami Book Festival, which was number three. So we're moving right
that
up there.
That is incredible.
Yep.
Yeah, we love that. And that's, again, how travel is integrated into our daily lives. You get inspired by reading a book, and it's set in a destination. It takes you there mentally, and we love books. There are great book festivals internationally in Helsinki and Edinburgh that we would be able to help you travel to. But what you're reading, it also creates an excitement of maybe you want to go there. And that's mm-hmm. a new trend in travel, is recognizing really good books that are out there. Where can it take me? Actually, physically, not just mentally as a getaway on my couch or in my window seat at home, or maybe while I travel. That's another, I don't even want to call that a trend, Bill. That seems to be something that goes hand in hand, is when you're packing your bags and you are getting ready for a trip, is I need my new good book that I'm going to read on the airplane or during my layover or on a cruise. So we love how books intersect with the travel experience. And I'll dovetail that into, as you mentioned, movies and television mm-hmm. shows have also been a new trend in travel. One of the most recent ones is the show on HBO that is premiering its season three on this coming Sunday, is The White Lotus. Mm-hmm. That's brought a whole new spotlight to Thailand and Phuket, mm-hmm. and travel in Phuket is up 45% year over year. And
wow.
I don't think it's solely because of White Lotus viewers, but they definitely have recognized that destination, that people want to see destinations that they have seen on television or movies. And boy, there's been a trend in the last few years of those Downton Abbey viewers who want to go to Highclere Castle, which is a real place. It's not a soundstage, right? It's in Hampshire, England. It's that iconic location where the most scenes are filmed there for Downton Abbey. So we can help put together tours. If you're going to go to the UK and visit the UK and you are a Downton Abbey viewer and love that show, wouldn't it be great to go to Highclere Castle or Harry Potter books? Speaking of those books and the movies, you can go to Scotland and London and Edinburgh and see the places that inspired J.K. Rowling to write these great characters and storylines about Harry Potter. So we love the intersection of travel and how it connects on so many different levels.
And that White Lotus show did some filming over in Hawaii at the Royal Hawaiian, and we were over there after they had been filming, and the people at the Royal Hawaiian said there were so many new visitors just because of that show.
I love it. One of my favorite television shows is directly related to travel, Bill, and that's the CBS show Amazing Race.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure that doesn't surprise you. So I
no.
love watching that show to not only see places that I've been. I love sitting on the couch and my wife and I will say, we've been there. We know what that is. But it also shows even myself and you, a well-traveled person, it unlocks some new opportunities. And we know that happens as people are watching different television shows. Star Wars is also a place for Tunisia, New Zealand, Ireland. That's another I would say series of movies and lore that has drawn people to travel globally because of that inspiration that comes in all different forms, either the written word in a book or on the screen.
And a real growing area of the business, the travel biz, is the theme, not only the theme, but kind of building something around like people who love to stargaze, or perhaps people who are looking for an experience where alcohol will not be the center of the travel experience. Interesting kind of theme travel is emerging.
Yes, it is. And it's new themes. Theme travel has been around a long time. We talk about the Christmas market experience on a river cruise. You talk about the theme of an anniversary celebration. Those are have been time tested. Tracking and tracing your heritage and your family roots. That's a theme in the travel space. But how about the, as you mentioned, the nocturism? That's the new word in travel that jumped off at me in an article that we've read recently about people looking for stargazing opportunities and to get to that dark sky park in Colorado that really the sky comes alive. We benefit from that dark sky here in Tucson in the southern Arizona area of being able to see the stars. But many people that don't have the dark sky opportunities that live in urban settings, they're now looking to travel to places to get out into nature, have the stargazing experience, have the solar eclipse opportunity. Mm-hmm. We talked about that, where now that once every few year experience is driving people's travel habits. And we're seeing it, the next solar eclipse, that will be more of a full experience. The band will be more European versus where it was across the United States here recently in 2024. 2026, it's going to be, you could be on a cruise in the Mediterranean or in Iceland. Wouldn't that be neat to be out in the middle of the ocean away from all the lights of cities and ports of call and have the eclipse happen while you're on a ship outside of the ports of Iceland? What an experience to tell your friends about and to capture that moment in memory and time. I'll speak to Bill, the other one that jumped out at me, which I thought was really a new trend. I just mentioned traveling to Ireland and people wanting to go to the Guinness factory. Yes. to top off a glass of Guinness. Now people are looking at sober travel. What does that mean? It means that the studies that are going out are the Gen Z and millennial travelers that are the newest travelers in the market, spending their own money. They're leaning more towards experiences that don't center on spring break style travel, experiences that don't center around getting drunk or even just the alcoholic sip. So, you know, heading to Costa Rica and not having a Loro Sour, it's looking for the best cup of coffee. You know, it's not just going to Italy for that Chianti in Tuscany. It's looking for the best bite in Tuscany, which you can't go wrong there either with the great pastas and produce that they have in that country. But it's a new way of looking at, I don't want to look just for the beverage opportunity. I'm looking for alcohol-free travel. And I thought that was really interesting that it's now affirming the lifestyle choices of the new generation and that travel needs to reflect how they want to live their life. So wellness, health, putting that at the forefront and making sure that their consumption matches their lifestyle. And that's what's neat about travel is you can indulge if you choose, but if you want it to mirror your lifestyle, you have that opportunity as well.
Well, if you're headed for Costa Rica and you don't want to do any alcohol, the coffee tasting is outstanding. Just outside the capital of San Jose is the Starbucks Hacienda. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful place to enjoy so many different coffees and the scenery there with the waterfall. Can't beat it, Ryan Hansen.
You bet. And hey, don't think that Napa and Sonoma couldn't be an experience for spirit-free trip, right? You can still love the vineyards and the landscape, and there are opportunities there for alcohol-free experiences and tastings that you can still dip into the olive oils and the mocktail menus that are available to you. So that's what's great about travel, Bill, is there's a style of travel and destinations that can cater to pretty much anybody's preferences and likes and dislikes.
Oh, the drive up the Sonoma coast to Mendocino, you can't beat that. So many wonderful places to go in this great, beautiful world. Ryan Hansen, give us the website, bvtravel.com, and lots of stuff going on.
That's the first place to go, bvtravel.com. And if you are thinking, I need an expert that knows said destination, or we've always wanted to do this style of travel, we have a great library of advisors there where you can set your search parameters based on pretty much anything you want, and you can find someone to work with through here at Bon Voyage, and you can even contact them directly from the website. That way you can get to that expert that can help you plan your next vacation.
All right, Ryan Hansen, Bon Voyage, safe travels. We will be talking to you soon. Thanks, Rhino.
Thanks, Bill. Have a great rest of your day.
All right. That's going to wrap it up. On behalf of Mr. Ryan Hansen and Mr. Tom Fairbanks, I'm Mr. Bill Buckmaster. Pretty much the same greeting every afternoon, and that is, be well.